47. The Pull. We skirted the chain dividing the Goblin Quarter from Grevitsa proper, not because we wanted to be so near the Biters, but because that was the easiest way to find our guest house near the bakery again. But we weren't home smelling mutton pasties yet. We were still following the chain by the Goblin Quarter with a different smell entirely in our noses. If you haven't smelled goblins, I can't tell you what it's like, because it's like nothing else from our world. We'll just say you might gag the first half dozen times, and you'll never forget it. One of the things to know about Malk is that he looks like he fought in the Goblin Wars. It's not just his fingers and his age. It's in his eyes, and in the way he moves. People can tell, and so can goblins. As we skirted the chain, the smell of the Biters doubtless stirring memories for him and Galva. A goblin began walking along with us, on its side of the chain, keeping pace with us. It was a larger one, more than 4 feet tall, its grey-brown hide scarred and puckered as if by fire. It seemed at first to be minding its own business, or rather, like it wanted us to think so. A Mulroven called something to us from his window, motioned at us, clearly a warning to move away. Seemed like a good idea to me. "Maybe we should get farther away from the chain," I said.
"Why, 'cause of him?" Malk said. "Fuck him."
He walked a little closer. So did the Biter. "Get away from that thing, you idiot," Nargal said. "Nobody's telling you where to walk," Malk said. "You're right," said she, and crossed the muck in the middle of the street to walk in the drier bit on the other side. I wanted to cross with her, only slightly less than I wanted not to seem like I had her ring in my nose. So I kept walking near Malk, but I said to Galva, "You think this is a good idea?" She shook her head, but kept walking on the chain side of the street. I noticed that other shapes were stirring on the goblin side, some two or three of them now keeping pace, but a bit further off. Now it spoke. It didn't look at us, but said,
"Mulrovini."
Were we Mulroven? When we didn't answer, it said,
"Unthri."
Were we from Unther? "I'm from Go Fuck Yourself, Biter. Where are you from?" It said,
"Halt, you halt man, Blondie."
"Don't talk to it," Nargal said.
"Galtia, what's it to you?"
"I know you. From war."
"This is enough," Yorbez said, tugging at Malk's elbow, but he shook her off. She shrugged and crossed to walk near Nargal. Several Mulrovans had gathered on our side and were speaking to us, clearly calling us away. But there was one laughing and pointing us toward the chain. I wanted to cross the street, but knew damned well Malk wouldn't. "What are they saying?" I asked him.
"Warning me I'm going to get in a pull."
"What's a pull? And would you please get on the less stupid side of the road over here with me, please? Fuck that Biter if he thinks I'm crossing the road on his account," he said, and glared at the goblin, which still wasn't looking at him. If it had pockets, its hands would have been in them. Such was the air of nonchalance it was trying to cultivate.
"Yes," it rasped. "You, friend. I eat you, friend, Blondie."
It showed him its teeth. Malk reached for his sword now, but two of the shapes on the goblin side stepped forward with their wicked little crossbows. Several more showed they had knives. They appeared quickly. Galva pulled her spadine. Yorbez was crossing the street back toward us now, but the goblin by the chain seemed unconcerned.
"No weapon," it said. "No bite. You want, you pull."
Still without looking at us, it raised its arm over the chain. Malk let go his sword.
"Don't do it, you idiot," Nargal said, though she knew good and well he would.
"Pull, coward. I give you like friend,"
the thing said.
"I think you scream. Friend scream. Pull, pull."
Now Malk grabbed its arm. It grabbed Malk's forearm with its other arm, sinking the hook-like talon on the left forearm in. Malk yelled and pulled it off its feet like a father yanking up a naughty child. He got it over the chain, but then it tangled up its feet in the chain, anchoring it. Now three or four goblins run up fast, they were so fast, grabbing the legs of their compatriot. They heaved and pulled it back half its body length. Malk lost his balance and headed for the chain,
We all grabbed him just as the chain caught him in the thighs and started pulling him back, but more goblins came. Now five, now six were yanking on their friend, and he wasn't letting go of Malk's arm for all the mushrooms in Urimad. Norrigal piled on, as well as some Mulrovan who smelled of fish and had scales on his apron. Mulrovans were coming from their houses and from the many taverns on the street. Women appeared in windows, banging pots with wooden spoons, and the alarm was taken up on other blocks. Some smaller Grevitzani held bows at the ready, making me wish I hadn't left mine in my room, but none shot. I later learned it was death by hanging to fire a missile into Goblin Town unprovoked, or to strike first with a weapon over the chain, or at any biter who had some part of his body on the other side of it. It was all very formal. This happened several times a year. Not everybody was good-hearted enough to warn foreigners about it. Grevitzani like a good pull. It was far more entertaining than their other favourite sport, batting a dead, frozen dog around with a stick. Malk was starting to suffer now. Only the one goblin was allowed to touch him, and it couldn't bite, but the stress on his back and shoulders was building. The Grevitzani did their best to share the talk around by pulling on his belt, his hair, getting under him and grabbing him by the waist. He was horizontal now, and so was the biter. The goblins had been faster, piling on, and were winning. Malk's head and shoulders were over, and the one who had him by the arms grinned sharp teeth at him, even opened its mouth to waggle its rude, armoured little tongue at him. The Coldfoot guard grunted and sweated. Grevitzani had powered on now, bigger, stronger folk, taking the place of the less powerful, like me. I was roughly pried off him by a bald, beardy fellow with black teeth and upper arms the size of my thighs. I did as others did and grabbed his belt, even as someone grabbed mine. Galva still had Malk by one boot. Norrigal and Yorbez had been pushed off entirely. Malk had a nosebleed. His hands on the thing's arms had gone white. It was yelling in its own language at its fellas because now it was halfway over the chain. They were losing. If we could get the goblin wholly past the chain, we could do with it as we pleased, and nothing would please this lot more than pulling this biter's head off. A cheer went up from our side as the creature's knees passed the chain. That's when things went sour. Another goblin, a very long-armed one, slid under the chain so only its feet were on the other side, and it grabbed the arm of the boy under Malk, sinking its hook in. The boy yelled and let go of Malk, and a wave went through the goblin horde as some of them left off pulling Malk's goblin and started tugging the second one. This was now a two-front fight, and that was terrible news for Malk. All the mighty Mulrovans who had been yanking him from his doom now left off him and grabbed the beefy lad being pulled under the chain, some of them saying his name. I rushed for Malk's receding legs but was blocked by others rushing to save their own. I saw Norrigal reaching for a vial of something or other, but a woman who had been beaten on her pot with a spoon now hit Norrigal with that pot and knocked her down, yelling at her in Mulrovan and pointing at the chain. Apparently, magic was illegal in these matters as well. Malk yelled as his knees crossed the chain. Galva had hold of Malk's ankle, but now a goblin unhussed Malk's foot from his boot. As Malk slipped away, a big Mulrovan man grabbed Galva by the waist and pulled her back. She screamed and flailed him with the empty boot until he was forced to let her go. Closer to me, the Grevitzani pullers had managed to yank their boy back without his pants, which had torn completely off him. The goblin who had grabbed him was now clear of the chain. His fellows left him to his fate, and all joined in on Malk. Galva chucked the boot at the man who had grabbed her, drew her sword now, and plunged for the chain, but she was tackled and disarmed by more massive Grevitzani, who held her until it was clearly too late. To their credit, they gave her the sword back. To hers, she didn't kill the lot of them with it. When she swore at them in Espanthian, they just swore back in Mulrovan and went laughing to help dismember the hapless goblin. What the men did to the goblin was no better than what the goblins did to Malk. In fact, it was worse. Malk they valued as meat. The goblin was less than shite to men. I gathered up Nargal, whose head was bleeding, and Yorbez led Galva off as she sheathed the sword that had been no use to her and said a prayer of praise to her skinny woman. Galva was smiling. This angered me at first until I remembered that she was really a believer. She believed life was a kind of virginity to be defended until the wedding day, then joyfully given over. Our friend Malk had been married now, and he and Algatha were celebrating as intimately and pleasantly as any young bride and groom. That, or, if the Galts were right, he was being piped off by Samner, Lord of the Gloaming, to run in the cold forest, as free from right and wrong as any deer. That, or he was just gone. It looked to me like he was gone. I glanced back one more time at the scene of the fight, which was rapidly emptying. One thing you won't know about big fights unless you've seen one is what a great litter they leave on the ground. Two young girls were sharing a torch, looking for the wink of silver or copper in the street, and gleaning such other items as people dropped or had torn from them. I saw one fella, covered in goblin blood, reel the snake of his belt up from the street's turned earth and wrap it round his muddied, bloodied pants. The meaty lad who'd been saved was now headed off to tavern with what looked like his uncle's, messing his hair and laughing that he'd pissed himself. I hated Grevitsa, and I hated goblins' wars, and I hated the rashness of men that let wars and waste cull us so. I'd have liked to report that Malk died bravely saving Galva's Infanta, but no. On the 33rd day of Lammas, 1233 years marked since the knock, Malk Nabrannock died in a stupid bit of blood sport in a muddy Mulroven alley, and none but us mourned him because a goblin's death was more entertaining than a stranger's life. Selfish Grevitsa, ugly for all your lace and amber, stupid, witless, dear Malk. He had but 30 years behind him, and 30 more might have been purchased for the price of crossing the street. As far as I knew, his mother was still living. She'd had him at 14. If I ever got back to Plathaglurus, sure and I'd see her. Would I even tell her I'd met up with him again, knowing the story led here? No. He'd died on the wreck of the Swebcabrier, which I'd heard about but not seen. That's what I'd tell her. Better her boy drowned than got fed to biters 7 years after the wars. A sorry, God's awful business either way. It wasn't until we got back to our lodgings I realized I was holding Malk's boot. I didn't remember picking it up. We left Grevitsa the next day.